Welcome to the What Actually Works Healthcast, empowering individuals, families and communities to get well and stay well for a lifetime. Now join your host, Dr. Angus Pike, as he shares his ideas, tips and strategies to maximise your health, happiness and productivity.
Hi, you're here with Dr. Angus Pike, and welcome to a podcast. It's been a little while in between that we've had one. And I have the great pleasure of sitting here with a wonderful friend, Kyla is her name. Hello, Kyla, how are you?
Good. Well, thank you, Angus.
What I want to share with you guys today is a little bit of Kyla's journey. And it's a great journey as well. It's a great story, and I think it's one that we can kind of all learn a little bit about. But, you know, instead of me talking about it, let's just get into it from there too, Kyla. So, you ran your first marathon a month ago?
About a month ago, I think, 3 weeks ago, Melbourne Marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did the 42-point-something Ks,
yeah,
which was my first one, and obviously a great achievement and something that I wanted to do since I sort of first took up exercise or running as such, which was last year.
Yeah, so tell us about that, because you, as you said, your first run was, last year, and it was an 8-kilometre run, and before that you'd done nothing, yes?
Yes. No, yeah. I was never a runner. I was never a runner at school. Like sort of most females, I did some dance lessons, calisthenics, but never any athletics at all. School sports were just days where you went to have fun with other kids at school and, you know, participated in a couple of events, but never went anything further than that. And as I went through my 20s, never really did any form of regular exercise other than walking. I always said I was a walker, not a runner. And then after having my second child, Lauren, I just sort of made a decision with a friend of mine to come to join a training group. And we came on the Thursday classes, had a bit of fun, a bit of a social.
So that was one of Linda's classes, was it?
Yeah, one of Linda's classes on Thursday mornings. And it was a social outlet as well as getting some exercise. But I had no education in regards to physical fitness, how I'd benefit, what to do, where to start off with. For my body shape and for my diet, I had no direction of which way I needed to go. And I took it all as a bit of fun to start with. I didn't take it so seriously as, I probably thought eventually down the road I did, but not when I started. I didn't know how long I'd, stay with the group,
So it wasn't any cathartic moment in terms of, this seemed like something fun to do that kind of took it. And a bit of background too, because you have two kids and you're also working and a busy husband as well. And a busy life. And so the kids are how old now?
Lauren's 3 and David's 8. And I had Lauren when I was about 35. And the baby weight didn't come off as quickly as it did with Ava. And a girlfriend of mine had twins. And obviously she was carrying a little bit of baby weight as well. And she mentioned to me, and I've heard of this class. A couple of friends of mine are doing it down at Williamstown. And they said we should pop along and see what it's like. So we both went down. It was on Thursdays, which worked out well. I worked 4 days a week. And we sort of joined up with the classes. And eventually, probably when I joined the Saturday group, they took it a little bit more serious. They were a little bit more determined in having a goal, getting to the time ball faster, running that first K of warm-up faster. It wasn't so social as the Thursday group. And I thought, hold on, I'm amongst, some good people here, need to leave my game. So my competitive nature came out a little bit. Then Scott came with me, that's my husband, and I got competitive with him as well. I thought, I can't let him, beat me each time as well. So, and I think that's where it first clicked. I met a girl, Vanessa, within that group, and we sort of had similar journeys. We both wanted to get better at running and our fitness levels. And I noticed probably in the second term of that Saturday class that my fitness really started to improve because I was taking it a little bit more serious. I was putting a lot more effort into it and I was being conscious of what I was doing and wasn't just probably, making it such a social outing as I had done originally.
So at this stage you were doing the Saturday and the Thursday class?
No, just the Saturday because I went back to work after Lauren. So I did a couple of terms of Thursday and then once I went back to work and Lauren was about 9 months, I started off doing the Saturdays and Scott came along. And
were you doing anything in between the sessions?
I would do some walking because I was a walker, not a runner, and do some step-ups on the back deck outside.
Yeah.
But would I say it was something that was regular and I was being really full-on? I thought, 50's enough, that's okay, I'm feeling a bit puffed now. But would I have gone to 100? Probably not. Yeah. I wouldn't push myself where now I probably push myself to reach a goal. Yeah. Whereas before, I've reached a puff level. That's all right, I'm going to stop now.
Yeah.
And but Vanessa pushed me on the Saturday classes. I thought, here's another girl. We're amongst, a good group of people. Got to see if I can beat her as well. And not only did that competitive nature help, but Vanessa and I sort of made a pact last year in January that we'd do our first fun run and challenge ourselves to do a long-distance run, which was 8K. But at the time it was quite daunting for us because we hadn't run anything further than what we did in a training class. So with the help of Scott, he'd come home from work and we'd tag team and I'd run out the door, go and meet Vanessa for a run during the week at night, and we'd train for this 8K run. And eventually when we hit the day, we thought, hope we make it. And that was the goal, to cross the finish line during this 8K run. And that's where everything just turned a lot more serious. We were more focused on doing training sessions outside our so-called training sessions with Linda.
Yeah.
And we took sort of conscious effort of our diet a lot more and what I was eating, and protein, a word that I hadn't heard of before, came something that was always on the forefront of my mind. Has this particular meal got protein in it? Has it got enough protein in it?
Mm.
And so we did the 8K, joyful as one can be after we completed it, made a pact to do another fun run, do a 10K. So by the time we had May, did the 8K, I think we did the 10K in July, and then in October I did my first half marathon. And that was a great feat as well. So it was, again, having a goal that I could set myself up for, that I could train for. So if I didn't have a goal, I always found myself, well, what am I going to do now? There's no reason for me to train and keep going on with things. I need something to reach for, so I'm conscious I've got to get out today and achieve that run. I've got to run this distance, or I upped my training groups with Linda to 2 times a week, so I built strength and things like that. And along the way, yourself and Linda were helpful in regards to what's your diet, what are you eating, are you eating after your runs, what are you eating after your runs, is it repairing your muscles, are you stretching, are you doing a proper sort of in-between work, the runs and things like that. What do I do to recover after those runs? Am I having Epsom salt baths? Am I, all these types of things that I had no idea about, just no knowledge of whatsoever. And I'd probably say probably one of the greatest benefits of it is not only have I sort of reached a good fitness level, but I can always keep improving on that, but I get to show my kids that mum can do this.
Yeah, fabulous. We were just talking beforehand that you went for an 18-kilometre run yesterday and took your daughter along. So, I just think that's lovely for Ava to be able to see her mum being active like that. So I think that's inspiring.
And Ava did her first duathlon a couple of weeks ago. It was a 300-metre run, 1K bike ride, and another 300-metre run. And at the end of it, she goes, I don't know how you do it, Mum. And she was puffing away, bright red-cheeked and everything, and I thought, well, now she can see sort of what I'm doing, and hopefully that inspires her down the track to make a conscious, decision in her life to know that exercise is not only a healthy thing, but it's also a great enjoyment that I've been able to spend with my children. As I've ran, she's handed me water and things like that. So, and I get to spend time with her separate from my 3-year-old, that it's a mother-daughter time as well.
Yeah, great.
And again, after the half marathon, it was coming up to the next decision. What do I do now?
Yeah.
What do I train for now? I've done the half marathon. And Scott was talking to me, well, why don't you do a full marathon? I thought, no, I'm not going to make a full marathon. I almost died doing the half marathon. And eventually this year we thought, no, I need to do the full marathon. I need to prove it to myself that I can run that distance and tick that box in my life and I can do that. And on those Sundays where I'd go off training, Scott would take Lauren on the back of his bike and Ava would be on her bike. So we made it a family outing as well. And Scott sacrificed a lot of his time on the weekend, which he used to enjoy bike riding with his friends down Beach Road or around Williamstown and Altona, to help me do my training, because he knew it was important for me to cross the finish line, but also cross it in what I thought was a decent time. So when the marathon came, it was about reaching the goal of crossing the line, but it was also reaching it in a decent time.
Yeah, you didn't want to just crawl over the line.
No, I didn't want to crawl over the line, because I thought, well, you put too much work into it, and you want to, you want to prove something to yourself, and you want to be happy with the effort that you do on the day, but also the effort that you put in before that as well. And I wanted Ava to be happy for me again as well, and I wanted Scott to go, yep, she did it, and, I want to make my family proud of what I do.
Yeah.
And I didn't sacrifice all that time to not sort of let myself down, but I don't want to let them down as well.
Yeah.
And so I had a goal of 4 hours that I wanted to complete it in, which I thought was a little bit out there, because most people said, 4:30 is generally a first-time marathoner, or 4:20. And I ended up doing it in 4:11. So I was happy with that, and only one cramp along the way. So I was well pleased at 38K. But I had Vanessa there, who met me at the 36K mark, cheering me on. Scott and Ava were on St Kilda Road.
That must have been nice.
So it was great. It was wonderful to see them. And Vanessa, who was going to do the marathon with me, who unfortunately injured her foot, it was a great sort of thing to see her there, because she'd been on that journey with me from the start as well. And to see her on the side of the road cheering me on was wonderful. So.
Yeah.
And then I had other friends at the finish line yelling out at me as well. So, it gives you a great buzz. And coming from not doing anything and, having a mumsy body, as I'd say, my tuck shot my arms and, I'm not a drill sergeant about it. I mean, we all have days where, you're going to have a piece of chocolate and, and you're going to have outings with your family and things like that. But I think it's a conscious decision, that you think about your meals a lot more now.
Yeah.
And I think about what exercise I'm doing for the week. I don't look at it as, I'm going to go out for a run today. I think about my week in front of me. Like, what am I going to do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? And
great.
I have set days.
So let me ask you some questions about that, because there's some things across here that you guys are listening that Kyla's given a whole bunch of secrets about why she's just been so fantastically successful over this last couple of years. But let me sort of double-click on a couple of spots there too, because you go from one morning on a Thursday coming on with Linda's class and having fun, and then, inside of 2 years you're running marathons. And so, and I just want to reiterate again, is that Kyla is as busy as the rest of us. Two young kids, a busy family, all those kind of things, working 4 days a week too. So how did you keep it up? What would allow you those times that it was, one, either cold and dark in winter and you didn't want to go out for a run? You were tired, you were cranky, the kids were screaming at you.
Yeah.
Scott wanted some attention, as all us husbands tend to do. What was it that allowed you to continue on?
I was determined not to let myself down. I think I had sort of come to a level, if I'd run the 8K, why stop and not continue running 8Ks? I can do that now. I knew I could do it. And I didn't want to sort of put that work in and then stop doing it and think, I've achieved that now. I'm just going to, sit back and relax and take some time off. And I thought, I can do that, and everybody can do that. And you can give up your exercise on the weekend or before or after work. But I thought, I've put so much effort and determination into it now. Why am I going to let that all go and let myself down? And I thought, I've worked hard to achieve this fitness.
Mm.
I've worked hard to try to prove something to myself, but to keep proving it to my kids,
yeah,
that, it's important to have this as part of your life. And it's not that I want to have a body that fits a size 10 piece of clothing or anything like that, but I want to be able to be proud of myself. I wanted to be able to sort of keep reaching certain goals that it gives me self-pride.
Yeah.
There's a lot of self-confidence that comes with running, and it's a benefit to you. You might think it's like, I'm trying to prove it to everybody else, but I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's only me that gets me out there to do that. My family allows me that time. But it's like Wednesday mornings, I used to get out at 5:45. And I don't like doing that because it's cold, it's dark, it's rainy, it's yuck. And nobody wants to run at that time. And I've tripped over the footpath and ran headfirst into a fence and things like that. But, you know, these are all fun stories you get to tell at the end of the day. And walking into work on a Monday and, you know, you've got sore, you know, legs from a big run on the Sunday. But it's, I don't know, I get a lot of pride out of it. I get a lot of self-esteem back to me.
Right.
A lot of self-worth, a lot of, you know, that something that I never did and never thought I could do because I was a walker.
Does that self-esteem carry over into other areas as well? Does it make you feel more confident at work? Or do you have this sense about, I can do that, what other things can I do as well?
I've always sort of been quite a talkative person or quite a confident person, but I can hold my head a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Like, there's sort of nothing about me that is such that, like, I'm ashamed of or that I'm conscious of, you know. I mean, nobody's perfect or anything like that, but I think I walk a little bit taller because I'm a little bit happier with myself and what I do. And I think it's really true. If you do exercise, you actually do feel good.
Yeah.
You do have those endorphins that come after a run that you're feeling great and on top of the world, and even though the rest of your body's dying at the end of the run, but there's that endorphin that is that glee, is that, you know, wonderful feeling that, yeah, I did it. And you do it for you. I mean, you can do it for your family, you can do it for everybody, and there's all those extra added benefits and things like that. And I get other mums in the training group and other guys in the group, people at work and my family and friends and that, and they go, I don't know how you do it. I don't, you know, why do you do it? How do you do it?
Yeah.
And I just do it.
Yeah. And I mean, you've become really quite a role model to many on that Saturday morning class that I think if you think back, and as you were mentioning beforehand, that you noticed that it was a little bit more competitive, well, now you're kind of right up at the pointy end of that bunch and they're all kind of chasing you as well. So a couple other things I want to click on as well is that one of the things, because managing it with a family is interesting, one of the things that you did is that you really enrolled your family in this.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just about Kyla. This was the family was all enrolled in this whole journey for them too. And I think that must have been something that helped rather than it being just about you, yes?
Well, it had to be. I can't leave the kids at home. It's against the law. So I had to work out a way to bring them with me.
Yeah.
And because Scott was determined for me to do the marathon and to do it well, because he knew how much it would mean to me and to do it well as well. He knows I don't want to half do things. He knows I like to do things fully.
Yeah.
Be that whatever it is, I'll be making the bed and I'll change it on him because he hasn't got the pillows in my way.
Yes.
But it was about, you know, I needed to get that time, but I also needed to have kids looked after.
Yeah.
All right, what do I do? Ava had never rode a bike for 20Ks before, so I don't tell her.
Yeah.
We're just going for a run.
Yeah.
And we'll see how far we get.
Yeah.
Until she starts complaining that she's sore or anything like that, or she's thirsty or she's had enough, or she's got a sore back, so I've been sitting on the bike seat too long.
Yeah.
And at the end of the run, I just said, oh, you just rode 20Ks.
Yeah.
Did I? Yeah. So she was proud of herself.
And so Scott had come along on the bike
as well? Scott would go on the bike. He'd have Lauren on the back seat because she's only three. So she needs to go in the chair because obviously she won't be able to keep up on the trike.
Yeah.
And she'd hold the water.
Yeah.
And she'd keep leaning out, water mummy, along the way and things like that. So she felt she had a part.
Great.
Ava had a part because she knew that she was riding 20Ks or 25Ks. And if I was doing a 33K run, I'd do the first 20 and then they'd meet up with me at the end of that, so I had water
and catch
towards the end. So I knew where my water fountains were along the Strand heading up towards the Westgate along Willie Beach.
Yep.
I'd put out a bottle of water down the street. If I didn't have them with me, I'd plan the run saying, okay, I need a bottle of water here, hide it behind the post.
Yeah.
And then the next morning I knew where to go to get that water. Right. Hopefully somebody hasn't done anything to it, but you don't have much choice.
Yeah.
But, the family had to sacrifice a bit, but at the end of the day, they enjoyed it as well.
Absolutely.
Because it was a family outing.
Yeah.
You know, they're riding bikes, they're getting a form of exercise. Lauren loves sitting on the back of the bike. She thinks it's great fun. helping mum. Mummy go running, things like that.
Right.
And Ava gets to tell her friends at school, oh, yeah, I just rode 20Ks yesterday and things like that. So she gets a little hoot out of it as well at the end of the day. So
a couple other things just to tap on here that Kyla did really beautifully as well. So notice that she always had a goal that she was working towards. And that even came into, you know, long-term goals of like marathons and half marathons too. But smaller goals, when Kyla's talking about her exercise, how she fits it in, there's always a plan for the week. And my experience is when people take things day to day to day, is it's really easy for something to get in the way.
Yeah.
So when you plan it out for the day as well. So I guess kind of one thing, I really want to congratulate and acknowledge you for not only for what you've done for yourself, but we're talking about for being that role model for your family as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for your girls to see their mum running and enjoying it is great. And as I said, you're a role model for many people in the class as well. So assume that there are going to be some people listening now that are not going to be where you're at, that perhaps either are wanting to begin the journey or in it and kind of struggling from there. What advice would you give then, whether it be a marathon, whether it be riding a bike, whether it be that one or whatever, because it doesn't matter that it's the marathon, you've just chosen something that kind of floats your boat, that's exciting for you.
I just enjoyed running.
Great. So what advice would you give them?
I set up small goals. Yeah. I always had a goal to work towards. So be that the Mother's Day Classic, that was the first goal, and then the Run Melbourne. And my weekly goal, I'd look at sort of on a Sunday or a Monday. And depending on what time I was working, what activities were on after school, what days that I had off and things like that. So between, if Ava had a class after school, like French class or something like that, I think, right, Lauren's still in daycare, I'll get out within that hour and do that training session. So I'd have those little goals per week to set up what training I was going to do, when I'd be able to get out. Between kids, between pickup. If I had to go early in the morning, it was probably only once a week because that's where I found it hardest to, you know, get out of bed at 5:30 in the morning, things like that. And then what was on the weekend? The weekend was always something on Saturday and Sunday because you had late days at work, like 8 to 5, and then you had to go and pick up the kids and then you had to get dinner. And by the time you got them bathed, fed and everything like that, you're sort of like, I really don't feel like doing anything at the moment. So it was the other days that I had to work around. If I had a short day at work till 3 or something like that, it was getting out between school bells and daycare closures and things like that to get the exercise. I'd go and pick Lauren up a bit later, but pick Ava up, and we'd go and do a short bike ride or run, and then I'd come back and do a training session with a medicine ball I bought on eBay and a gym stick and things like that. So
great. So it's all about kind of goals and planning for you, yeah?
I had to have a weekly plan set out so that I knew which days that I'd train on, and you've got to stick to it, basically, because if I didn't stick to it, I'd be back at the start of Thursday class socialising and not getting any benefit out of it. I'd be back to, you know, my sort of old sort of ways as such. I had to be strict on myself, not, you know, terribly strict, but I had to plan and stick to the plan. And then, you know, kids and husbands and dinners and house cleaning and all those types of things work around it. But you can do it. I don't think, you know, I was like anybody else. Oh, how do you fit it in? Where do I go and do this? How do I do that? But it's probably making it work to what works with your family. My situation won't work with everybody else because everybody's kids are at a different age limit, different activities that they've got on the weekend as well. I've got gymnastics drop-off on Fridays, and then, you know, one of the other mums does it on the other Fridays and things like that. So I get to get out on that Friday that I don't have to do gymnastics and things like that. So those goals, which were my weekly goals, I had to stick to, and you either do it or you don't do it. Yeah. And that's it. You even want to, you've got no one else to prove it to but yourself, because at the end of the day, you know, you're only answerable to yourself at lying in bed at 10 o'clock at night as you think through your day and what have you done and have you achieved what you needed to set out to achieve. And if you feel responsible for yourself and, you know, you want to sort of achieve something in regards to fitness or anything like that, then you need to do it.
Great.
You know, not sort of sit there and think about doing it, but you actually have to go out and do it and just do it the way that works around your family and not sort of sit there and think, how am I going to do it? Just do it.
Well, Kylie, congratulations. And for those of you that are wanting to possibly come along and join some of Linda's classes if you're here in Melbourne, then you can find Linda at www.plusonemums, and that's +1-mums, and I'll put a .com underneath as well, so you can get to that as well. So this has been Dr. Angus Pike here and Kyla from What Actually Works, where we help people just like you to get well and to stay well. Thanks again, Kyla.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the What Actually Works Healthcast. Visit us on the web at whatactuallyworks.com.au. You can join the Healthcast, listen to past issues, leave your comments, suggestions and ideas. We look forward to having you back soon. In the meantime, remember, you can tell a lot by what a person takes two at a time, pills or stairs.